Hello, I'm Fry from Pontifex.
And I'm Brie, and today I want to tell you about Gilbert of Aurillac, or Pope Sylvester II. Known as the Science Pope, he was a preeminent intellectual, mathematician, astrologer, and philosopher. But he's also known as the Necromancer Pope, who foretold the future and made a pact with the devil.
Ooh, spooky.
It's about to get spooky. Gilbert of Aurillac was born in France in 946 and would become the first French pope in 999. But before that, Gilbert studied under the Bishop of Ato outside of Barcelona in Spain on many subjects outside of church life. He studied astrology, astronomy, mathematics and philosophy, and utilized scientific tools not found in the West, like hydraulic organs, armillary spheres, the abacus, and the astrolabe. He was likely one of the first to introduce Hindu-Arabic numerals and decimals to Western mathematics, and as one of the most intellectual men of the era, he served as a tutor for future emperors and popes, and a teacher in the Cathedral of Reims. Gilbert was also incredibly active politically before his papacy, getting involved in many imperial affairs, which led to conflict with the nobility and the papacy, and even a temporary excommunication. However, this did not stop him from being continually promoted to the abbot of Bobbio, and then the Archbishop of Ravenna, and then elected as pope. But history remembers him for darker things. According to the legends, while studying mathematics and astronomy in Spain, the future pope also dedicated himself to the practicing of the black arts, learning from Saracen wizards, learning tricks and spells to increase his wealth and his power, and ultimately win him the papacy.
How? Tell me more about this creepy pope.
William of Malmesbury tells us that Gilbert constructed a brazen head, which is a robotic automaton crafted by wizards, which would prophetically answer questions posed to it with a yes or a no answer. He did this with the help of a secret dark book that he had stolen from Arab sorcerers. And when he stole the book, he had been pursued by its owners, but had escaped by hanging underneath a bridge, making himself invisible between the earthly planes.
Wow, what?
He had spells to just hang between the worlds, apparently.
I guess.
But this was just one venue of Gilbert's desire for prognostication. For 12th century historian Walter Mapp also alleges that Gilbert made a pact with the devil, or at least a devil. Gilbert's pact was with a demoness called Meridiana, who is described as a woman of unheard beauty, seated on a large soaking carpet, having before her a huge heap of money.
Was the carpet wet, or is there such a thing as a soaking carpet?
It seems as if it was a wet carpet.
Okay.
So Meridiana either promised the papacy to Gilbert, or he won it from her in a game of dice, and then made a pact with her to be told the future, to increase his power and his wealth.
I can't get over this wet carpet.
Soaking carpet, yeah.
Why is she just on there? Is this some sort of WAP metaphor that I'm not getting?
Perhaps it is. It is a demoness. She could also be a succubus.
It's true.
So now he's won the papacy from her. And as pope, every night he would consult with Meridiana. And Walter Mapp says, every night she who possessed full knowledge of the past instructed him what he was to do day by day. Within short time, no one was his equal. So he would use these instructions and his necromantic skill to uncover long-forgotten pagan treasures, to make himself outrageously rich, and to leave no project unfinished. But the sorcerer pope was not just concerned with amassing wealth and power. He was also concerned with his death. But Meridiana assured him that he would only die if he read Mass in Jerusalem.
Don't go there.
For then if you do, the devil would come for him and take his soul.
Cool, just stay out of Jerusalem. That seems easy.
The pope then decided never to visit Jerusalem.
See, we're doing great on this whole, like, because if this was a horror movie, he'd be like, I'm going to go straight to Jerusalem and live there.
Well, he decides he's not going to go, and he's going to live forever. But soon after, the Pope gave Mass in the Church of Santa Croce in Rome, fatally forgetting that the full name of the church was Santa Croce in Jerusalem.
Oh, mistakes.
An account from Cardinal Baino tells us, forgetful that the Church of Santa Croce was known as in Jerusalem, he said Mass in it. Immediately after, he died a most horrible death, ordering with his last breath that his hands and tongues, with which by sacrificing to demons he had dishonored God, to be cut to pieces. We get a little bit more from a later Dominican friar, Martin the Pole, who says, confessing his sins in public, he ordered that they cut off his limbs, with which he had made homage to the devil, and that they place his dead trunk in a cart and bury him wherever the beast that hauled the cart stopped. Now, in truth, it's believed that Pope Sylvester II died of poison, so even if the devils did not take him, he was murdered. He was buried in the Lateran Palace with an epitaph that read, "This place will yield to the sound of the last trumpet, the limbs of the buried Pope Sylvester II at the advent of the Lord." But this is not the end of the story, for it is said that the tomb of Sylvester II was not restful, and he would foretell the death of a pope. Quote, "By sound of knocking bones and sweating of the marble, his tomb presages the death of any pope." Now, unfortunately, this tomb was destroyed by fire in 1308. But when the remains of Pope Sylvester were rediscovered in the 17th century, Cardinal Cesare Rasponi, who found the body, noted that the body was not cut into pieces as the legends would have us believe. But things still got creepy. As we quote from him, "The corpse of Sylvester II was found in a marble sarcophagus, 12 feet below the surface. The body was entire and clad in pontifical robes. The arms were crossed on the breast, the head crowned with the tiara. It fell into dust at the touch of our hands."
The tiara?
No, the body.
Thank God.
His entire body just completely disintegrated into dust the minute that they touched him.
Oh no, he got Thanos snapped.
He got Thanos snapped. And while a pleasant odor filled the air.
What the f***?
I know! Owing to the rare substances, no less, in which it had been embalmed. Whatever he had been embalmed with smelled beautiful as he was Thanos snapped away.
Not formaldehyde?
No, it's the turn of the first millennium. Nothing was saved but a silver cross and the signet ring. So he just completely vanished. And thus finally rested the remains of the necromantic sorcerer, science pope, Sylvester II. But who knows what it says for his spirit? He also appears in a current book series, Deborah Harkness's All Souls trilogy, as a vampire.
Oh, she would. I haven't read any of those. They just, like, what I skimmed looked like someone tried to use bigger words to write Twilight.
It pretty much reads exactly that way. What I've read so far of her depiction of Sylvester II seems very much that way. And that brings us to the end of the spooky story of our necromantic pact with the devil pope. Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
Happy spoops!
Spoopy and creepy.